Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our Charting the End Time study titled Millennial Rewards. Due to the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic of 2020, I am teaching to an empty auditorium with the exception of my wonderful wife in attendance. And with her help, we were able to live stream this study along with some old hymns and spiritual songs to more than 100 viewers on April 1st, 2020. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our Charting the End Time study titled Millennial Rewards. This is part one of two.
As I said, we got the current events update and the corona response has included not only a shortage of toilet paper, but massive amounts of alcohol being bought and consumed. This is a headline, just one of many. This is Fox News. Coronavirus lockdown. People are buying tons of alcohol. Now, to most Christians, we obviously would say that's not a good idea. But even if you're not a Christian, or if you're a Christian who drinks in moderation or whatever, it doesn't matter what your personal conviction is. I'm just talking about science and scripture. This is a bad idea. But as I said, evidently two main necessities to survive the corona pandemic are toilet paper and booze. Isn't that something? Yes. Of all the things that stores are having a run on, they've had a run on a few other things like hand sanitizers and things like that. But the two of the biggest are toilet paper and booze. But it doesn't, this is what someone will come along and say, well, doesn't the Bible say to drink wine for health reasons? Yeah, I have to admit they're right about that. A lot of people think they're doing God a favor by pretending that's not the case. But Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Now, first I have to say that water back then, sometimes was good water, clean water, was hard to come by in the deserts of the Middle East. And so that was a problem. But I want you to notice real close what it says there. A little wine for your stomach's sake. So even if you're going to use the excuse, you're going to drink, you've gone out to the store and been one of these people hoarding alcohol, and it's because you're going to use it for health reasons. It's clear from 1 Timothy 5:23, it says, use a little wine. And I think he's talking about a little, if you had a wine glass, it'd be a little bit of wine. And also, it's just a scientific fact that consuming alcohol, especially if you have one or two drinks, if you're a woman and you have more than one, and a man, if you have more than two, it lowers your immune system's ability to fight off infection and virus. I wonder how many of these people who have died already of the flu and coronavirus this year were heavy drinkers. And if they hadn't been, they might have survived. This is from Insider, and thankfully, they gave a little summary. I'm not going to read through the whole article, but there's just a few facts that you can share with your friends who drink alcohol and are drinking more than one or two drinks, especially during this time of the pandemic. It's a fact. Alcohol does weaken the immune system when consumed excessively. Now, that's another word people grasp hold of. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Excess, according to science, not just common sense and scripture, is no more than one drink for a woman and no more than two drinks for a man in a given day. That, to me, seems excessive, to drink every day to begin with. But anyway, we're just going to stick to the facts here, not opinions or convictions. Moderate alcohol use, defined as one drink per day for women and two drinks per day for men, that's what they say, is generally considered safe and likely doesn't weaken the immune system significantly. But you'll read elsewhere, but even one or two drinks does weaken the immune system. It may not be significant at that rate. But it goes on in a third point. Overall, you should refrain from drinking too much alcohol if you don't want to get sick. And you shouldn't drink alcohol if you are sick. And there are people out there, when they start showing symptoms, are drinking alcohol thinking that somehow that alcohol is going to help them. And it's hurting them. By the way, this article was medically reviewed by Dr. Scott Kaiser, a board-certified family medical physician and geriatrician at Providence St. John's Health Center. Here's that scripture I just read. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's more than one drink for a woman, more than two for a man any given day. But be filled with the Spirit. That's what you should be filled with, not alcohol. Two things. It clearly says, be not drunk. And I knew a girl one time who, if you're not a regular drinker, your body can't handle it. But sometimes people, it's their metabolism, other reasons why small amounts of alcohol can get you tipsy at least. And this girl drank one, what do they call them, coolers, wine coolers. And this back in the 80s. And she got in a car and wrecked and flunked the test they gave her. I'm not going to name her name. Don't ask. I'm sure she's grown up and learned from that lesson. But what may not affect you with one or two drinks, some people, that's enough. And if it's affecting her like that and people like that and they're unable to drive well, you know it's affecting their immune system. It also says, be filled with the Spirit. Times like these are times, as the MyPillow man said in the Rose Garden at the White House yesterday, take this time to get in the Word, get back in the Bible, sit around with your families and read the Bible and pray together and walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that's all we've got there. And I'm going to say a word of prayer before we get into our Bible study, and then we're going to sing. And while I'm doing that, could you plug that in so the phone doesn't die on us? We don't have trouble with our live stream. I forgot to plug it in. But we're going to pray. And again, if you want us to pray for specific requests, send those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And we'll be opening that mail account and looking for your prayer requests. And we will pray over whatever you ask us to pray over. Don't post them online, even if you don't care if other people see it. We like to keep prayer private. Jesus said, go into your closet and pray. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And we will look at that after we get into the Bible study. bbfohio@protonmail.com. So, Jenny, if you want to come on up, we'll get ready and we'll sing after an opening word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all who are able to join us on live stream. We thank you for the facility and the means we have with the cameras and the internet and the ability to live stream to folks. And we pray for all those BBFers who aren't with us tonight, who normally are, that they'll have a good time of Bible study right there where they are. Your word is what is important. It is your word. Jesus said, thy word, I will sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the psalmist said, thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so that is what we want to do, is impart your word tonight, be an encouragement to people. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we know that is what will happen, because it's not about me, it's about the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It won't be long till Jesus comes.
It won't be long till Jesus comes. It won't be long till I go home. It won't be long till I see Him. He'll make things right when He comes. Now this world is full of trouble. This world is full of pain. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim, but soon my journey will end. It won't be long till Jesus comes. It won't be long till I go.
Jenny.
Amen, Brother Craig. Or Craig, whoever you are.
George or Gary or Mike. I get called those names. Wade, because my brother. I answer as long as they're not going to shoot at me. Especially if they're serving food. Amen, Sister Jenny.
Amen, Brother Craig.
So tonight, our Bible study will be on millennial rewards. Let's see. Could I get one more? You won't miss much. Introduction here. Last study, we looked at the millennial citizenship or millennial citizens. Before we got into the rewards, I thought it was important because I get asked that question a lot. Thankfully, I can now send them a link to. They can watch the Bible study on who's going to be living during the millennium. If you didn't see that message, go back to the previous message. It's part of our Charting the End Times series. And this time, now we're going to get into millennial rewards. And by the way, we already looked at five crowns that Christians will be awarded with, rewards. And you can go back and watch that if you missed that. But those are five rewards that we receive during the time of tribulation that's taking place on earth. 70th week of Daniel's taking place down here on earth, and we'll be rewarded, judged, not for salvation. Our salvation is settled at the cross and the empty tomb. But we will have a judgment day, and it'll be for rewards. And then our service as a Christian, which has nothing to do with salvation, will have everything to do with what we do during the 1,000-year kingdom of Jesus Christ on the earth. I love this picture. We've got several pictures, artistic renderings of a distant look of the New Jerusalem. And I just love the thought. I love meditating on it. But I hope you have your Bibles handy. And you can turn with us as we go to the passages where God teaches us about these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to cover verses 13 through 15. And of course, normally I'd have a dozen or so people reading along with me on a Wednesday night. Feel free to read along with me. Right there where you are, if you're with your family, you can all just read. And when we go to other passages, feel free to read right along. But otherwise, follow along as I read beginning in verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see, this isn't about being saved, you're saved. But some people, when it's all said and done, Paul describes it as being saved, yet so as by fire, because they're not going to have any rewards to show. Because they wasted their life. And they were saved and just never really produced anything. And it's not difficult to produce. Some of you think, well, I'll have to have a big ministry or at least be a pastor like Greg Miller or play the guitar and sing in church like Sister Jenny or whatever. That's not true. As a matter of fact, we're going to be really pleasantly surprised when we get to heaven and see a lot of people who had no teaching, singing, ministry, weren't evangelists or missionaries. But they just faithfully preached the gospel to those that they came in contact with. They gave out gospel tracts. They prayed for souls and intercessory prayers for Christians. They did things in the name of Jesus to help people out, all those things. And when you do it according to the scripture and you do it for His glory and not your own, you will be rewarded. And so don't wait another day. Get busy tomorrow doing things for the Lord and earning your reward when you get to heaven. This is what Jesus meant when he said this in Matthew, if you want to turn there. That's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6. And beginning of verse 19. Says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Read that with me, Jenny. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, you know, by the way, the Bible never says that it's a sin to have money, to have a nice house or whatever. That's not the sin. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10. Your new versions corrupt that, by the way. But if you have a King James Bible, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not having money. And it's where is your heart? Verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart's right with God, even if you have money and have a job where you make a lot of money, or maybe you were born into money or whatever. You will use that for His glory, and you will get reward for doing so. But if you spend all your time, and again, there's nothing wrong. We should work. And if you've got a lot of money and you are buying real estate and flipping houses or playing the stock market, God help you in these days. But if you're able to do those things and make money, there's nothing wrong with that. But then when you make that money, you should give a minimum of 10% to God's work. And that's not, I'm not saying you should give it to Bible Believers Fellowship unless you're part of the local church. If you're part of a local church somewhere else, you should give a minimum of 10% to help with the ministries there and the missionaries that they support. And if you don't have a local church, then you should find a church and find missionaries to support. If you don't, for whatever reason, don't want to support BBF, contact me. I can give you a couple of mission agencies. You can give your money to missionaries. As long as it goes into God's work, that's the important thing. If not, you know, there are a lot of people who don't give any money to the Lord's work, and they use the TV preachers as an excuse. That's not an excuse. You're going to be ashamed of yourself on Judgment Day. And there are some people who don't give to anything and just put it in their own bank account. God will take it back at some point. You just trust me. I've been there, done that. Back in the 90s, I went through a little period of time there where I was convinced by somebody that since tithing isn't a law today, then we really don't need to tithe, and we don't even really need to give that much. And so I didn't. Well, you do the math. Keep track of how much money you ought to be giving to the Lord. You watch. That's just the way it works. But if you're doing those things to enrich yourself and you're laying up treasures here on earth, rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. God will let it happen to you. But if you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, what are you going to get? Reward. And His promise of reward is at His return. We call that the premillennial coming of Jesus Christ. We'll do a study on the different views of the millennium sometime, but just in a nutshell, the seminaries especially teach these different views. Amillennialism, that teaches not to believe anything literally when it comes to the kingdom of Christ. It's a figurative thing that is represented by the church or some crazy thing like that. And then there's the postmillennial, who believe that the church is going to conquer the world, and for 1,000 years the gospel will bring peace on earth. And that's just too stupid for words. But then they think Jesus is coming back at the end of the millennium to congratulate us, I guess. That's the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming at the end of the 70th week of Daniel to establish His 1,000-year kingdom. And He promises that at that return, not the rapture. The rapture, we go up. At the return of Jesus Christ, He comes down. At the rapture, He is redeeming His church, taking His people out, redeeming their bodies. We'll get our glorified bodies. When He returns at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, He's coming back in destruction and judgment. We've got a message on that, the differences between the rapture and the return. But this is at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. He promises this in Matthew 16:27: "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." So it's not about salvation. It's about whether or not you get reward, how much reward, what type of reward, and it's all according to your works. Revelation 22:12, He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." My reward is with me. I love the fact He says, "I come quickly." I pray, that's my prayer all the time. Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, in our previous study, we saw that believers will serve as judges in the kingdom. We ran those references a couple times. But I want you to look over at Revelation chapter 20. Turn your Bibles there. Revelation chapter 20. And thank you, dear, for the coffee. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, there are two groups of people here. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And we know that's talking about us sitting upon thrones and judging, because we're told that elsewhere in Scripture. And we ran those references, and we'll see it again in a moment. But it also says we will reign with Him. Look at the end of that verse. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You also see that in verse 6. Look at Revelation 20, look at verse 6. Read that with me. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We believe, as Bible believers, and the Baptists have been historically been the major group to carry this on, but Luther taught this in the early Lutheran church, the priesthood of believers. You don't need Father so-and-so. I got this black shirt on. I can button it up and put a piece of toilet paper right there. I look like Father Greg. There's no such thing. There's no priesthood in the real Church of Jesus Christ. There are no fathers in an authority position in the church, in the Church of Jesus Christ. You have a natural father who is, or an adopted father, some of you. But that's in a fleshly, personal relationship of the flesh, we'll say, the physical realm. But spiritually, we have one Father, and that's the Holy Father in heaven. Not the so-called Holy Father in Rome. That's blasphemy. But we have a Father in heaven, and we don't have a priesthood on earth. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our high priest. He's the only priest you and I have. And I go directly to the Father through Jesus Christ. You go directly to the Father through Jesus Christ. And He has made us priests of God and of Christ, and future shall reign with Him 1,000 years. And then there's this in 1 Timothy 2:12. Paul said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. So if we suffer, we shall also reign. Why is that? Because if you're not willing to suffer and you turncoat, you compromise and you're not faithful, then you won't reign. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say you're not saved. It says you won't reign. Faithful is the key word there. Faithful. Christians will rule over more cities if you're faithful than the unfaithful. Now, there are some who are less faithful, and others who are lacking faithfulness almost altogether. And there'll be different levels. Some people are going to be given more rule. Let's look over that in Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 17. And there's a parallel passage in Matthew that we don't have time to get into all that tonight, but some people actually teach that they think that you'll be beaten and cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth for 1,000 years, even though you're saved and a Christian. And I don't believe that. Sometime we'll have to cover that other passage and go into that a little more, and I'll explain.